This audiobook is entitled A Butt of Heads, written by Simon Haynes and narrated by GM Graham Haig. A Butt of Heads is book 2 of the Robot vs. Dragons series of novels. Chapter 1. The gigantic sea serpent had come out of nowhere, passing so close beneath Runt's little rowing boat that it almost tipped the craft onto its beam ends. That wasn't the worst of it, though, for the knot at the end of the mooring rope had lodged itself between two of the serpent's huge scales, and then all hell really had broken loose. The rope tightened with a twang, the boat leapt forward as though fired from a catapult, and the sudden jerk almost tossed Runt over the stern. Now the boat was throwing out a huge, curling bow wave as it sliced through the sea, towed towards the horizon by the unwitting sea serpent. Runt scrambled to the bow and poked his head over the side for a better look. The sight was not promising, for the creature was many times larger than his boat, with huge, glittering scales and a lithe, powerful body. Fortunately, the serpent didn't seem to be aware of him, or the boat. Thus, he wasn't in any immediate danger. Runt glanced around for inspiration, but the sea was empty in every direction. The land of his birth had disappeared over the horizon, and the sea serpent was showing no signs of slowing down. Then, cursing his stupidity, he remembered the sword at his belt. The boat's mooring rope was stretched taut ahead of him. All he had to do was chop through the thing. He had a sack of provisions on board, and the ocean currents would eventually carry him ashore. After all, things washed up on the beach all the time. Runt drew his sword and grabbed hold of the rope, just as the sea serpent decided to dive for the ocean depths.
"Whoa, spit!" exclaimed Runt, as the rope suddenly angled downwards, dragging the fore end of the boat underwater.
He was still holding the rope, but he was flung bodily into the air and lost his grip on the sword. He landed with a splash, and as he opened his eyes, he saw the sword spiralling away into the depths. The water was clear, shot through with rising bubbles, and Runt held his breath as he scrabbled at his belt for his dagger. The sea serpent's tail was so close he could reach out and touch it, if he were completely mad. Instead, his fingers closed on the hilt of his knife, and seconds later he was soaring at the rope like a maniac. The rope parted, the serpent swam off with a flick of its powerful tail, and the wooden boat stopped sinking. Runt was still clinging to the remains of the mooring rope, and he hung on for all he was worth as the boat rose towards the surface. His head emerged from the waves, and he took a deep breath of salt-laden air before momentum plunged him underwater again. He could see the boat above him, capsized, the waterlogged sack of provisions still jammed under one seat. Slowly, he pulled on the rope until he broke the surface again. He was at the bow, and the wet hull loomed over him like an oversized turtle shell. Runt realized he had only one chance. He must right the boat, or he'd die. His fingers would weaken, and once he let go of the rope, he'd follow his sword into the ocean depths. It was easier said than done. The boat was heavy, waterlogged, and there was nothing to brace against. Every time he tried to push one side up, he'd be forced down into the water, desperately clinging to the rope for survival. And each time he kicked his way to the surface, he imagined what kind of tasty morsel he looked like to the creatures of the deep. The sea serpent, a passing shark, carnivorous jellyfish. His imagination ran riot with the horrible deaths in store for him. Then he had an idea. Instead of pushing one side of the boat upwards, why not use his weight to pull the other side down? The net result would be the same, after all. The wooden planks comprising the hull were rough and worn, and his fingers found purchase. Slowly, he climbed upwards, expecting the boat to right itself at any second. Instead, he found himself sitting athwart the keel, legs splayed. It was uncomfortable, to say the least, but he was no longer in danger of drowning. Runt scanned the horizon, hoping the little boat had returned to shore while he'd been fighting for survival, but there was nothing in sight. The salt water had left him thirsty, and his stomach growled as he remembered the ham and the jug of fresh milk in the sack of provisions, but he was not yet desperate enough to try reaching it. After all, it was directly beneath him, and he'd have to go back into the water and make his way
Sample complete. Ready to continue?